Messages of God's Grace. Last week, just for a reminder, we considered God's creative activity in regards to the new man, or the Christ, that began on the day of Pentecost with the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit. And so we are part of a new creation in Christ. And that is going to lead us... Today, I want to come back and just touch on some things dealing with sonship. Sonship is such an important aspect of understanding and appreciating our position in Christ that I just wanted to come back, circle back, and just pick up a few things regarding it. And so as we've been going through some of these things, of course, we've been... going through some things related to the believer being in the decree. And we could say wonderfully in the decree or amazingly in the decree. And when we think about the believer in the dispensation of the grace of God, it's really quite a mind-boggling to think about some of these truths. And we look at the believer... You know, for instance, being chosen before the foundation of the universe, or the believer being foreknown, those that God chose, he foreknew so that everything would be in accordance and in accordance to his determinate will. And in accordance to his foreknowledge, God marks off the boundaries beforehand for the believer to son placement, we've seen, and then to be conformed to the image of his son. And I want to focus on that first one, is that God has previously marked off the boundaries for the believer to son placement. And so that's what I'm going to touch on today. And so let's open with a word of prayer and we'll start. Father, we do thank you for the day. We're grateful for the opportunities of the day to be in your word, to be together. We're grateful for that relationship to you and the comfort that we have in knowing that we have a relationship with an all-knowing God who ultimately is in control of all things. And so as we move forward, we know by your grace that we're perfectly equipped to operate in a manner that's pleasing to you, no matter what the situation or circumstances may be around us. We're thankful for the time we have right now to relate to you. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so son placement. And a lot of times I just go ahead and use that translation. Because it's a Greek compound word, the word weos, which means son, and then the root for tithemi, to put or place, and so just son placement. It deals with our appointment as mature sons. And there's a difference between a son and a child. And so when teaching seminary, I always try and make this distinction. If people can see this distinction and they look to the original, meaning the Greek and the New Testament, and they can see the distinction between son and child, it gives you information about the context. When child is used, the Greek word is technon, born one. It's looking at birth. And so, we're children of God as Christians by the new birth, being born again. But we are also sons of God, and that deals with mature sons, by spirit baptism. And so we're children by regeneration, one side of the coin of salvation. We're children by regeneration. On the other side of that coin, we are sons by spirit baptism. And so they have different emphasis, and they're helpful distinctions to make. And so we're going to spend a little time considering this concept of sonship, being placed, being appointed as a mature son. If we go back just to be reminded in Ephesians 1, great chapter dealing with many aspects of the decree, but in Ephesians 1:4, we have reference to our being chosen. And so Ephesians 1:4, Paul just records, as he, talking about the Father, has chosen us, Christians, and him being Christ, before the foundation of the world, or the idea of the universe, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And then it says, having predestinated us. Just having previously marked off the boundaries of us unto, it says, adoption of children in the King James. That's our Greek compound word that means son placement. Appointment as mature sons. And so we previously marked off the boundaries of us unto son placement or appointment as mature sons, not by but through Jesus Christ into himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, of or from his desirous will. We see several good decree terms that we've covered in the past. And as we've pointed out, that our placement, our appointment as mature sons is related to our being baptized into the body of Christ. And so we know that we have been called to salvation. Let's just go ahead and pick up some verses to reinforce this. And so let me just go back to Romans 8:30. Here Paul says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, or just mark off the boundaries beforehand, them he also called. And so the call being a call to salvation. Let me just to connect some dots, let me just quickly go over to 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy 1:9. Speaking of God, here Paul's in writing to Timothy in verse 9 says, who saved us and called us by a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, as it says, before the world began, just before times of eternities or times of ages. You can back up into verse 8 and see how that it ties into salvation, this call to salvation. He saved us and called us, though, with a holy calling. And so we're called to our salvation. With that salvation, it includes being appointed or placed as a son in Christ. And so that's one side of the coin that we're considering. Is we are, when we're placed, when we're baptized into the body of Christ, which happens at initial salvation, we are placed as a mature son in the mind of God. And so we may not be mature yet at initial salvation, but that's how God sees us. That's how he counts us. And so I want to go back into Galatians in chapter 3. This helps us to see how sonship works, and that we're all placed as mature sons in Christ. Now, in Galatians, It's a very interesting book. It deals with a lot of issues that would be pertinent for today. In this epistle, Paul's essentially, he's demonstrating that those that are trying to live by a law principle, they're not acting as mature sons. Think about that. If you're trying to live by a law principle, you're not acting as a mature son. Remember, you under law, you couldn't mature. You couldn't mature under law. Let's illustrate that from Hebrews. Let's just go to 7:19 for a quick cross-reference. For the law made nothing, King James says, perfect. It's our word for mature. The law made nothing mature. You couldn't mature under the law. But the bringing in of a better hope did, by which or just through which we draw near unto God. So one couldn't mature under the law. One could look better to others under the law. But that was just an appearance. That was appearance. And so you know what they say about putting lipstick on a pig. Well, it's still a pig. And so similar thing happens when dealing with the sin nature. The sin nature can be made to look a little better on the outside, but it's still a sin nature. It's not dealing with the core issue. And so law never matured anyone because there was a core issue that wasn't being dealt with by somebody living by the law. So we're going to see Paul address that in Galatians, by the way. But by keeping law, you could make a distinction on how people looked compared to other people, but not before God. And so let's go back to Galatians 3 and let's drop in here. I'm going to try and drop in. I mean, there's so much context. I almost want to preach the whole book now. let's just try and zero in on some of these areas that will help our understanding of sonship. And so in Galatians 3, I'm going to pick up in verse 21, just to back up a little bit and pick up some context. Paul says, is the law then against the promises of God? May it never be. He says, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been out, it says by the law, just out from law. Out from law, a law principle. But the scripture has concluded, or just confined, to shut up all under sin. That the promise out from faith concerning Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before, now, Paul, he does an interesting thing here in Galatians because he's going to demonstrate that if the law is not for the Jew, he doesn't have to carry that argument any further when it comes to Gentiles. And so he's going to approach this looking at it from the Jewish perspective. And so now when he says, we here in verse 23, and he's done it earlier. You can see, let me just back up to verse 3:13. You can see he's got the Jews in mind in 3:13. Christ has redeemed us out from the curse of the law. He's talking in regards to Jews. Being made a curse for us or on behalf of us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Well, he's going to carry, he kind of weaves this in, this epistle to the Galatians. And we'll see him do that here in verse 23. I believe he still has, he has the Jews in mind in verse 23. He says, but before faith came, when he says we, he's including himself. Paul's realized that he has something better in Christ. And he wants all believers to understand this. And he says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Then he says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. The idea of schoolmaster was our trainer, our tutor unto Christ, that we might be justified out from faith. Then he says in verse 25, but after the faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, a tutor, a trainer, talking about law. And so he's got, he has the Jew in mind here. And now he expands this when he's, and he's looking at all Christians. When we get to verse 26, he says, for ye, you all, ye in the King James is looking, it's plural for you all, but you are all not children. Now remember, there's a difference. And so it's important to point this out, but you are all sons, mature sons. You are all mature sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And so this ties us to our position in Christ, where we're placed as mature sons in the view of God. And so in speaking in regards to the Jew, Paul, in recognizing this himself, and other Jews that are Christians, they're no longer under a tutor or a trainer, a schoolmaster. Because now they are sons. They're placed as mature sons in Christ. And now you see the connection in verse 27 to how we all became mature sons at initial salvation. This is for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. You have clothed yourself in Christ from God's point of view. And so God counts each one of us as a mature son. Now we're going to explore this concept a little further, but let's just be reminded that at initial salvation, our position in Christ comes as a result of spirit baptism. It's when we enter what we were talking about last week, the new creation, the new man, the Christ. And so back in 1 Corinthians 12:13, we read, for by one spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink one spirit. Now, it's interesting because the Holy Spirit, this change in relationship for believers to the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit indwells the believer, makes it possible for the believer to act as a son. And so I'm just pointing that out when we see this reference to been made to drink one spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who sealed us in Christ. We've been sealed in Christ with the Holy Spirit, and he's the guarantee of our inheritance, right? Let's go back and take a look at Ephesians 1:13. And so in Ephesians 1:13, it starts off, in whom? And so this is another one of those references to our position in Christ. It's, the whom is Christ here. in Christ, or in whom you also hoped after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after, or just when, that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And in verse 14, you see not which, but who. It's talking about the Holy Spirit still. And so who is the earnest of our inheritance? He's the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And so that connection to the Holy Spirit is important, because that's going to enable us, or make it possible for us, to function as a son. And so we're going to have to talk a little bit more about the concept of sonship. And the concept of sonship is tied to maturity. And so we're going to see this, because Paul is going to use a very effective illustration in Galatians chapter 4. And so he's going to use an illustration of the Jews under law in contrast to Christians in Christ to demonstrate that we, in our son placement, we have something better than the Jew had under law. And so he's developing that to demonstrate that law is not for present tense, by the way, in the larger context of the epistle to the Galatians. And so let's go to Galatians chapter 4. And before I start, to the Jewish mind, it would make no sense to live as an infant if one had already been placed as a son. So if you keep that in mind, you're going to see how powerful Paul's illustration is here. Because let's just bring to mind the Jewish bar mitzvah. Just to keep this in mind. And so the Jewish bar mitzvah, bar, son, mitzvah, commandment. And so son of commandments. The Jewish bar mitzvah is simply, it was a coming of age ceremony. Usually a boy that was 13, he would finally be recognized as an adult. And so I'm just going to summarize some basic things about it. I don't want to get too caught up in the illustration, but I just want to bring these things to mind so that you can maybe see how this illustration would be such a powerful one to the Jewish mind. And so in the bar mitzvah, 13-year-old boy is recognized as an adult. And as an adult, so he's reached a certain point of maturity where he's recognized as one is of a certain maturity. And so there's privileges and responsibilities that come with that. And so in a sense, he arrives at a son appointment where he's considered to be of a certain maturity, that there's privileges and responsibilities that are associated with that stage. And so for the Jewish male boy who was bar mitzvahed, he'd be responsible for his own actions. And he would be responsible for observing the law of commandments, among other things. And so when I say, you could see that for the Jewish mind, it would make no sense for somebody who had been bar mitzvahed and appointed as a son, and so now he's going to have some of the privileges of an adult, to now start acting like an infant. So setting that stage, let's jump into Galatians 4. And you can see here, this is going to be a very strong illustration. That's when Paul says in 4:1, now I say that the heir, now the heir, remember, is one who receives a portion of inheritance, an allotted portion that would be based on one's position or station. And so Paul says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is, now the King James doesn't help us here, most translations don't, it says a child. It's stronger than that. Paul's not saying a child, he's actually using the Greek word napios, infant, an inarticulate babbler. And so now I say, so I'm going to translate it that way, because it just, you can see how strong this illustration is. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is an inarticulate babbler, he differs nothing from a slave. It says a servant, but it's our word for slave in the Greek, a slave. The slave of the household. They're not going to have a different set of privileges or responsibilities. In other words, the heir, he's an inarticulate babbler. There's not enough maturity for him to have responsibilities, to have privileges that would be associated with his station, right? It's as though he be Lord of all, because he's too immature. And then he explains in verse 2, but is under tutors and governors. The word tutors here is the idea of guardians. We could just say guardians or guides. He's under guardians and guides. And then the word governors would be better just translated stewards. It's oikonomos, stewards. So here we see the infant. Even though he's the heir and he's would be the Lord of all in this human illustration, this household, he's under guardians and stewards until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we. So now Paul's still drawing upon the appeal here to the Jews when he says we. Even so we, when we were infants, and it's the same word, it's napios again. And so, I mean, this is, not only is this a powerful illustration, this is a real powerful statement in regards to the Jew, because the Jew would not like to have considered himself an inarticulate babbler under the law. But that's, that from God's perspective, that's exactly where they were. It says, even so we, talking about the Jews, when we were inarticulate babblers, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And so he says, when we were infants, inarticulate babblers, we continuously were, he uses an imperfect verb here just to say we continuously were in a state of bondage under the elements of the world system. So they were, in other words, they were subjects of the legal principles of the world system. Those were governing rules in their life. Not only did they have the Mosaic law, but they were enslaved under the elementary principles of the world system also. Those were standards for at that time as well. And so there was going to be no maturing. There's no maturing under law. Now we're going to see, now he's going to pivot. Paul's going to pivot to just to start demonstrating here just how much better that the Christian has. Remember, God sees, since the day of Pentecost, he sees mankind in one of three races. And so we've got Jews, Gentiles, and the Church of God. And here he's going to demonstrate that he's already said In him, in Christ, is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. Back up in 3:28. So now coming back to verse 4, he pivots and he says, but when the fullness of the time was come. So now we're talking about this. So this is going to relate to son placement, the appointment of sons by the Father. And so, but when the fullness of the time was come, the God sent forth his son, it says made or just come to be of a woman, made or come to be under the law, to redeem them that were under law, not the law, but just law, to redeem. That we might receive, it says the adoption of sons. It's just our Greek compound word for son placement. Placement or appointment of mature sons. And so here Paul is demonstrating something better. Much, much better. And this would be quite the illustration, I believe. For the Jews at the time, they would have a complete understanding of this immediately with the language that Paul used. Now he wants them, and he's already stated, remember in 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus in 3:26. Christians are already sons. We're not trying to get there. We're not trying to earn it by law principle. We are there by grace, not based upon our efforts, but based upon the cross work of our Lord and Savior. And so now Paul says in 4:6, and because ye are mature sons, because you all are, as Christians, are mature sons. And here's the proof of it. God has sent forth the Spirit of or from his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And the word Abba is just a transliteration from the Aramaic, which translated would just be Father. And so just the Spirit from his Son into your hearts crying, Father, Father. And so here's a first thing that Paul mentions that's tied to son placement and a privilege of a communication between the believer in Christ and God the Father. Pretty fascinating when you think about that. And we might pivot off of that some more in the future here, but I want to continue on for time's sake. Now he's going to draw a conclusion in 4:7. And so the King James reads, wherefore, in the Greek, it's a conjunction that just translates so that. Hosta. Just so that you are no more a slave. You are no more of a slave. Remember, they were formerly talking about being in a state of bondage under the elements of the world system, and as they were inarticulate babblers. And so now with son placement, because they are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit from his Son into their hearts, and they've got this communication with the Father as part of this position of privilege. He says, so that you are no more a slave, but a son, a mature son. And that's right from the get-go at initial salvation. We're all mature sons in Christ. He says, and if a son, then an heir. And so he doesn't prove here that the heir is a son. He comes back and is, because you're a son, He says, then an heir of God through Christ. And so with this position of sonship being placed as a mature son, there's privileges and there's responsibilities that come as a result of being placed as a mature son. And that's in relationship to God the Father. And so if we go back into Romans 8, we can see that some of this, and it's going to tie to the Holy Spirit. It's interesting as the Holy Spirit becomes the key to the Christian being able to live and function as a mature son, to function and live in accordance to his position before God. The Holy Spirit makes it work. And so going back into Romans chapter 8, so we are all equipped at initial salvation to live out our position, to act as mature sons. But, you know, we have to learn how to put that into practice. We have to learn that, you know, we're dependent upon God. We have to do things the way God does things. The Holy Spirit becomes very important in present tense salvation. And so, so let me just back up into Romans 8:12, because, you know, the flesh becomes a hindrance to us living as a son, to functioning as a son. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to make it possible to live free from the flesh or the sin nature, or above it. And so in Romans 8:12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, or on account of the flesh. Now he explains in verse 13, he says, for if you live according to the flesh, or measured by the flesh, you shall die. You are about to die. And so that's a natural consequence, if you will. He says, but if you by the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds or the practices of the body, you shall live. He's talking about not physical life. He's talking about spiritual life. Now he says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. And so it's just literally, he says in the present tense, for as many as are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These ones are present active indicative, a quality of sons of God. For as many as are being led by this. And so here you see a clear statement that the Holy Spirit leads the believer to act in accordance with being a mature son. It's not something we can do in our own strength, independent from God. So God gives us the tools. We have this treasure. We have this treasure chest. We have these riches that are untraceable, unfathomable. But the Holy Spirit ends up being the key to having access and living and experiencing these treasures. And in present tense, we get a taste of that. And so one of the things we can also say is the Holy Spirit doesn't lead the believer to live by law. He doesn't lead the believer to live by law. We can do that ourselves, but that's not the Holy Spirit leading. And so when we're led by the Spirit, though, these ones are the sons of God. If we turn over, keep your hand in Romans 8, we'll come back. But let's just be reminded of another verse over in Galatians 5:18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under, and the King James says the law, but it's not articular in the Greek, it's just law. You're not under any quality of law. You're not under law if you're being led by the Spirit. And so this kind of ties into what we said earlier in regards to this epistle to the Galatians, is we're living by law. We're not living as mature sons. We'd be back trying to live as an infant. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 8. And we'll pick up in verse 15 where we left off, because Paul makes another reference to son placement in Romans 8:15. He says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of," it says, "adoption." And that's our Greek compound word, son placement. The spirit of son placement, or the spirit of appointment as sons, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father, Father, Father." That communication with the Father is one of the beginning privileges that we immediately have as being part of the body of Christ. We have that father relationship with him, and he sees us as mature sons, as being appointed to a place of privilege with responsibility of having reached minimum qualifications, if you will, of being a mature son. Now he says in verse 16, in reference to the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit himself, not itself, because it's a person, even though in the Greek, if you were translating it without considering the context, you might translate it itself, but the Holy Spirit's a person, so it's also the Spirit himself bears witness, or co-witness is the idea, with our spirit. The area of the realm that we're saved, that we are the born ones of God. And so now it looks at the other side of the coin, the new birth. And so the Holy Spirit, he's co-witnessing with our spirit, our human spirit, in the realm of where we're saved, that we are the born ones of God. And then he says, and if... first class condition in the Greek, so we could translate it since. And since children or born ones, then heirs. Ones with an allotted portion, if you will. And since children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we co-suffer with him, that we may also be co-glorified together. And so you see this package deal. And all I can say is there's a lot I could say there, but grace comes to mind immediately. Grace. What a package deal. And you see that when Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed," King James says, "in us." By context, we might translate this as a causalize also, because of us. And he goes on, we'll just continue on down here in verse 19. He says, "For the earnest expectation of not the creature, but creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God." And so, basically saying the creation is it eagerly waits the revealing of the sons of God. That's in reference to us. See, it's we've been placed as mature sons, but it's not openly manifest, we might say, at this present time. Now, if we just follow this context down, we're going to see that this is going to tie to future tense salvation for us. So let's continue. It says, "For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God." Now we're going to pick up, and this is going to tie back to our future tense salvation. "For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit, the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption," the King James reads. And it just literally says, eagerly expecting son placement. The son placement. So we have it in initial salvation in Christ, but we receive the revealing of that son placement and the reality of that, and all that's associated with that, is tied to future salvation. And so he says, in regards to the Christian receiving the first fruit, the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly expecting the son placement, the redemption of our body, the complete redemption of our body. And so that's when we will, if you will, be fully matured. That's when we be fully matured. We'll be, this is when we will be conformed to the image of his resurrected and glorified body. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 20 and 21. This is always a good verse to be reminded of, especially in the political season. There's so much out there that can distract you or potentially frustrate you, and you just wonder, why is common sense so uncommon? Come back and refer to this verse. When Paul says in Philippians 3:20, "For our citizenship, our politics is in the heavens," plural, "out from where we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our body of limitation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." And so I'm going to just finish up going back to Romans 8. In Romans 8:28, and you know, this is of course in a section that ties right back to the decree, and so I'm going to back up to verse 28 and read on through verse 31. "And we know," Paul says, "all things work together for good to them that are loving God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did mark off the bounds beforehand to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did mark off the bounds beforehand, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And so when we understand that, we can have an appreciation when we read Ephesians 2:10 and we find out that we are the result of God's doing. We're his workmanship. In Romans 8:31, Paul says, what shall we say then to these things? we'll translate it as the first class, since the God, we're talking about the Father, since the God is for us, who can be against us? And so God has made certain that what he has determined will come to be. And we find ourselves intimately involved with his determinate will. And when we start relating to the provisions of grace and our position in Christ, and how God sees us placed as mature sons, when we are in cooperation with the persons of the Godhead, we allow a transformation to be occurring in present tense salvation, and God is getting the glory. And so this all ties to appreciating and trying to get our minds around the riches of God's grace. And we'll continue to do that in coming weeks. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. We're thankful for our placement in Christ, and we're grateful to be placed and seen as mature sons in him. And may we be those that rely on the Holy Spirit to lead us to act in a manner that's in accordance with that position. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen.